So, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, everyone. I've told that I was going to interview the CEO of JibJab started smiling and saying, oh, cool. I remember them. So I think that means that you are officially retro cool, but you're having like another moment right now.
Yeah, look, we've been deemed the online cockroach and we absolutely love it. I have to say, I had kind of the same reaction when I was recruited to JibJab by Greg Spiridellis 4 years ago. I said, wow, JibJab, they're still around. And after learning more and talking to him, I couldn't wait to be a part of it. And here I am now.
So glad to have you here.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you.
Hey, it's EB Moss. And as mentioned for this episode 21 of Insider Interviews, I'm speaking with someone who's been an animated head more times than he can probably count as the head of JibJab, which is famous for its personalized e-cards and satire animations that lets your head star. CEO Paul Hanges has been with JibJab for almost 5 years, but he's also headed up. See how I did that? Operations at Evolve Media and CrowdIgnite's audience development and gaming vertical. Now, before we get started, I have to say I did request compensation for this interview. I got JibJab to expertly add my head to the year-end video, which you can now find all over my social media accounts and on my episode show notes. Best holiday gift ever from them. So let's now hear from Paul about why JibJab is the OG of digital branded content and why it's still hot.
Well, thanks for having me, B. I'm really excited to be here. For those who don't know the history of JibJab as much, it was founded by two brothers in a Brooklyn garage in 1999. So we've officially been here for a very long time doing this, which is, again, why we love the online moniker of the original online cockroach. It started with just funny videos online from Greg and Evan Spiridellis, who recruited me to be COO. And now here I am as CEO, continuing on their legacy of bringing out great greeting cards and funny social expression content.
So for those who have been living under a rock for like 20 years, how would you describe JibJab at a cocktail party if we could still go to cocktail parties?
The easiest way to say it is we give you the opportunity to star in your own personalized branded card. At least that's where it started. We have over 1,000 cards in our catalog that help you say happy birthday, happy anniversary, Merry Christmas, and so many other things. We've since adapted over time to really say we want to allow anyone to put their face in something and automatically be funny. And our whole goal is to make billions of people happy by allowing them to be funny wherever they're having that conversation.
I personally love the style of it and everything, which I'm going to ask you about in a minute. But I want to start about one of the challenges and opportunities for a digital brand today. We know that people are desperate for something fresh and something new to entertain us. We're all stuck at home during this pandemic time. How has JibJab stepped up to the challenge to make what's old new again?
I often get told a lot, wow, your technology seems so old. And they usually do air quotes around technology because it is our starring you technology that allows you to put your face in any piece of content. We looked at it as a great opportunity to let people be together on Easter by sharing a laugh and letting people be together this holiday season for Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything else by sending something virtually and all getting a laugh and also being really easy to share. And it's still a big head with a floppy jaw cut, which we think is very nostalgic and fun. But when compared to deep fakes that are coming out now and Snapchat lenses and face augmentation, it is or seems rather elementary without seeing all the back end rendering and all the other things that we do to it. But we think at the core, it's what makes us us and what makes it fun. You know exactly who it is when you're sending it.
I love it. And I do have to say, and this was an infamous moment, I did an interview with Bozma St. John, like a really big deal for me. And we started talking about avatars and realism. I so embarrassed myself by confessing my love for the hot Colonel Sanders avatar. It was kind of embarrassing, but not as bad as some of those who have actually tried to marry an avatar. So why do you think the funny clunkiness of a jib-jab still has so much appeal?
It's not supposed to replace reality. It's supposed to make whatever we're creating fun and a new environment. We've always said, whatever we want to do is focus on providing utility. How can we help people say happy birthday, happy anniversary, or all of these other big moments? Because people are used to sending paper greeting cards and other things for these events. And ultimately, what the brothers found way back when is creating a viral hit like they did with This Land in 2004 that put them on the Tonight Show couch and ABC News People of the Year is really, really hard. They spent 5 years to get to that moment and didn't know if they'd be able to do it again. But what we did find is that if you can allow people to personalize content, it's automatically pertinent and relevant and interesting to each person's micro network. And by micro network, I mean their immediately friends and family. So if you can create high quality content that lets people personalize it, you no longer have to have a piece of content that is appealing to millions upon millions of people. It just has to be relevant to the 30 people of the person who created it. And if you get a million people to create it, now you've created these viral things. So that's why the Starring You technology is so core to what we do. And it's also why we think that big head and floppy jaw cut is endearing, because you know who it is and who sent it. And by the way, we make it super easy to do.
I do recall doing some back in the day, and I will do it again. But I also love the idea of micro networks. Obviously, this is a podcast about the media marketing and advertising industry. So I do want to talk about the business model a little bit, but that's fascinating to me that you can gain scale, sort of the way Biden got campaign donations, sort of one person or $16 at a time or whatever. Talk a little bit about your revenue model. Is it all subscription?
Yeah, we are as close to 100% as you can get on direct to consumer. We have over 1.3 million paying subscribers today across all our different platforms, both web, iOS, and in the Play Store. And yeah, we create high quality content and we license music and other brands within it so that people can send and share their favorite things around the holidays. And we can also make things in the middle of the year that aren't tied to holidays and just fun. So last year we had the rights to Old Town Road by Lil Nas X, right? The height of its popularity. Yeah. You can star in that video and send it and share it to your friends and family.
Oh my gosh, I have so many questions, because that does lead us into branded content. And that's not really a revenue source for you, is it, as much as your D2C subscription model? You don't do a lot of like sales marketing things.
Yeah, people are usually surprised when they reach out and they say, hey, we'd love to do this thing with JibJab. And we churn down 95% of them, which is a really stark difference for me coming from Evolve Media, where we were solely reliant on brand advertising and advertising dollars. We look at every partnership to say, is the content something that would be appealing to a paying subscriber? And will it advance the brand? If the answers to that is no, are no, we don't care how much money you have behind that budget, because it's not core to what we do. However, there are certain brands that do align and have really good content. So one example is we worked with the movie Mamma Mia 2 or 3 years ago when it came out, singing, dancing. It was a great clip that we put out there and we said, hey, this is a really good opportunity, but by no means is it core to the business. And we only find things and partner with brands that align specifically to what we're doing. And it's freed us to create whatever content we want. And it's been great.
Oh, I love that. My sister-in-law is the biggest Mamma Mia fan. Her head's going to be on that body very soon. So one of the things that has put you squarely on the map right now, especially in 2020, well, talk about what the first thing is that you've done in 6 years. This is news.
Yeah. So we decided to come back with our year in review. It's something that started in 2005 after the popularity of This Land, and the brothers did it for 10 years and thought that that was a fitting end to the year in review. And after 6 years with 2020, my CCO, Mauro Gatti, came to me and said, we have to do it. We have to come back to it. And we found a way that not only we can go back to the roots of the company and pay homage to the two founders, but also find a way to bring it to our existing business of the starring you. So historically, Year in Reviews were ones that you just watched and that was it. But now we said, hey, let's make it so everyone can star in it. And that's why you see your face in it on your social media accounts and something that's been one of the top shared pieces of content that we created since it launched a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And I'm so proud to be part of the Conocente and have a pile of poo thrown at my face because that really did sum up 2020. Who writes these things? The lyrics are hysterical.
Yeah.
And so sadly true.
All of this is the brainchild of our CCO. I've been very blessed to have him by my side, Mauro Gatti. He's been at the company a year or two longer than me. The two brothers, Greg and Evan, recruited us to help run the JibJab side of the business as they saw a passion with their kids division called Storybots. But Mauro is, look, the two founders were very creative and are creative minds. I know where my faults are and my flaws are, and I am not creative. So I default everything to our CCO, who has a much stronger resume than I do on a lot of things. And creative is something that he fully has taken ownership of. And all of our successes on that side, I can say, is solely his.
Oh, that's great. I also have to agree because I got to know Mauro a little bit through the incredibly generous David Berkowitz, who has a group called Serial Marketers, and Mauro came on and put David's head on a cartoon body. And that's what reminded me of JibJab and got me so psyched to talk to you. So he is super talented and everybody's been just terrific over there. I want to talk a little bit more about the year-end content. What kind of uptake are you getting on it? And why this year? Why not last year, et cetera? Yeah, I mean, obviously, 2020 aside, but
yeah, it's always been a conversation internally, whether we revisit it or not. And there's always just so many different things that we want to accomplish. And we never know if it's a good time to do, but when we look at the political environment, it is extremely divisive. We actually decided to take some baby steps that people may not have recognized. We released two and a half years ago a recycling video for Earth Day, where we simply said, put it in the blue bin. We thought it was a really funny video that you can send to people to say, if you're buying something, it can be recycled, recycle it. And we got so many hate messages from every side of the aisle. Some people saying, I can't believe you're normalizing the use of plastics. That shouldn't even be any conversation. To other people saying, global warming is a hoax. I can't believe that you're running this type of media and we want to cancel our subscription. So at that time, we started saying, I don't know if we want to be here because everything that we thought was neutral is not even neutral. And if our mission is to make billions of people happy, can we do it by creating this kind of content? But then as the years kind of went along and we started thinking about it, we said, you know, we think that we have to go back to our roots and give people something to laugh about, which is why whenever we approach everything, it's very much from a neutral perspective and making fun of everybody. And if you can't laugh, then what else is there? So when we said 2020 with lockdowns and COVID and everything that happened, what better time than now to reapproach it? And that's what we did.
It's such a great and interesting answer. And you're exactly right that 2020 has been an equal opportunity screwer upper. So for everyone, you know, interesting also this thing about the Facebook boycott.
Yeah. So in July, we decided to be a part of the ad boycott of Facebook, which for a D2C brand, at least for us, like it was painful. When we look at our acquisition channels, it makes up roughly 50% of our spend and 50% of our users. And it's really been the only platform that we've been able to find that can effectively drive demand for our product. So when we look at all the platforms, we look at Google search and someone has to have intent. They have to go there, type in e-cards, and then we can advertise to them. But Facebook is one of the platforms that we can say like, hey, do you want to send something to friends and family to say happy birthday or something else? And it's really effective for us, as it is for many D2C brands. But when we started looking at our company history and wanting to get back to the political roots, it all went back to that recycling video for me and saying, wow, everything is so divisive. And everything that the ad boycott was standing for was, how can we make this country and this world less divisive? And part of it is the algorithms and hyper-targeting and everything behind it. So we said, you know, for July, we're going to be a part of this. We stand for it. And while Facebook is not the only bad actor, they are one of them. And this is where the larger brands were spending their time to boycott. And we said, we want to be a part of it because we want to get back to our political roots, which we were this year with the year in review. But like every D2C brand, we knew that it was short term. And we are back on the platform and advertising now, especially during our busy season of Q4. But it was something that we decided to do as a company. And I had the support of the company, our board, and everyone else to do it. And we're happy to have been a part of that.
A little bit back on the business side. I mean, clearly, you know, we've explained that you're really primarily D2C. I don't know if you know, I'm also the editor of a publication called The Continuum, and that evangelizes both brand and demand marketing. So it's very cool and it's important, right? But I feel like you guys are perfect for that because you do have a pretty strong brand message. You know, the goal of making people happy, of not adding to the ill out there. But tell me about the benefits and the downfalls of being D2C and not really pushing out a brand message quite as much.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been around for a very long time, again, going back to that online cockroach. But we know that we're not a unicorn. We don't want to wall people off in our app and say, you can only create things here and share it here. One of the big things that we've always said is we want to allow people to be funny no matter where they're having those conversations, which aren't going to be on our platform. So we've had to be very nimble in how we adapt and how we create and where we bet our development resources. So in the very beginning, it was all about email and sharing things that way. And then it became the Facebook wall. And then we saw a big breakthrough with iOS 10 and allowing the extensions within text message. So all of our development efforts are about how can we make it as seamless and easy as possible for people to share. Now with that, you think, hey, you can be a massively viral company and do everything, except there's a paywall. We value our partners extremely well, and getting music rights is not cheap. It's something that we have to make sure that we pay back to all the creators and people making our content, the music that we have in it. And by nature, it has to be something that is a paid product to support all of those artists. So the downfall is definitely we can't make billions upon billions of people happy because there's a certain amount of people who won't be able to open their wallet or not see the value there in a world where there's so many pieces of free content that are out there. So what we've really done is we started to look like one of our core values is quality. And we say we always value quality over quantity. You can go to Giphy, you can go to all these other aggregators that have millions of pieces of content. You're not going to get that here. We are very proud of our catalog of cards, but it's, you know, no more than 1,300 to 1,500 pieces, which for us is expansive because we know that we produce 50 to 120 pieces of content a year, which some would look at as I do that in a day, right? But that's not how we approach it. So D2C has afforded us a lot of things. As we mentioned about branded partnerships, I am not beholden to other people to give me money to push their mission and their product. We do whatever we think is going to make people laugh. And if we do our job, they will become subscribers and brand evangelists for us. So we still have it as a big lofty goal and a mission to make billions of people happy, which actually I'm sure we have done since being around since 1999. But it took us a lot longer to get there than if we were a completely free product doing other things.
So it definitely leverages sort of like an online word of mouth, but you have such a strong background in audience solicitation. You used to head that up. Sorry. But in another interview that I heard with you, you described how JibJab also has like a personalized drip campaign. So using those uploaded heads that I might have uploaded to put myself into that 2020 video, I love that concept. Are you still doing that? I mean, that's a lot of data to manage.
Yeah, you'd actually be surprised in that we actually don't leverage that at all or much. Today, across all of our platforms, you upload a head into your platform, but we have no idea who it is. Where that's actually one of the things that we're looking to do and be more of a personalized service for people and pushing to you when someone's anniversary is coming up or where their birthday is coming up. We actually know that I've seen, at least in my personal life, an arc of usage where everything was about posting on someone's Facebook wall on their birthday. But now that is seen as impersonalized, and now people are going back to text. So we actually think that we can provide a really strong value thinking about utility and allowing people to say happy birthday, anniversary, and everything else. And then saying, oh, this head that you uploaded, that's my partner. Here's our anniversary. Here's the birthday. And then I know all of your favorite cards to say, hey, schedule this on her birthday to send. Schedule this on this date to send. And same thing with your mom for Mother's Day. So we look at it and saying, hey, you've been around since 1999, doing the e-card since 2007. You're sitting on all this data. We know you've uploaded heads in your account. We know how many heads they are, but we know nothing else. So we actually think that we're sitting on a really big opportunity to be that personalized service for people and just bring more value to the JibJab subscription.
I would totally do that. And thanks for clarifying that. I didn't understand it quite as well. Now, one of those cards that you've mentioned, and you know, sad to say, is a COVID card, I think, tied to the to birthdays. Did I read that right?
You did. Happy quarantine birthday.
Oh, God.
so like I said, we pride ourselves on the quality, not quantity. And normally our cards can take 2 to 3 months to create. At the beginning of all of the quarantine and stay at home orders, our CCO, Mauro, and I looked at each other and said, can we even create something? Will this still be a thing? Because at that time they were saying 2 weeks at home and then everything will be better. But we took a bet and said, I think not only will this still be a thing that people are going to find and want to share, but also, can we get those lead times down from 3 months to 2 weeks? And Mauro did the impossible. He created an original song with musicians and writers, and then a full original animation that really summed up our lives and how toilet paper was disappearing and you had to do birthdays on Zoom and we couldn't wait to do it again next year. And it automatically became our number one shared card and still is to this day for the year so far. People just find it as very relevant in the moment and something that, again, keeps people connected and can make fun of what is a really heavy experience that we've had for the last 9 months.
I guess that's the good news. Bad news is that, yeah, we all have to get to a point where we're smiling into the apocalypse, but I'm glad you were able to pivot and make us laugh a little bit.
Yeah, us too.
Oh, what's one of your favorites?
I'm a big sucker for our Halloween cards. So Monster Mash is just a favorite in my family. Although, I mean, my daughters are now 3 and 5 years old, and anything that has them in it, they love. So we have a little ritual of every morning when they wake up, they run straight to me and they each can make 2 cards. And for them, one of them, it's happier, which is just unicorns and rainbows and big like green and purple wigs that they love. And then the other one loves putting her face in pumpkin spice latte, which I don't know if I should be scared about a five-year-old wanting to be in a espresso latte drink or not, but another fun one of theirs.
That's hysterical. And I do happen to have it from a good source, aka Mauro, that you are a coffee junkie. So I'm thinking the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, and she sees my ritual every morning, and it's things rub off on the little ones.
Yeah, I do like my coffee to get up and walk away on its own. I like it that strong. And I did ask for a personalized Jib Jab, so Mauro sent me the one of I Love Coffee. So yes. I don't know how we knew.
Also my favorite.
Yes, yes. So another quick question. Can we go back to ads and branded content? I'm intrigued by it because I'm an ad sales marketer from way back.
Where I was at Evolve, everything is about the biggest, brightest, newest ad unit that people are seeing because everything is about viewability. The problem is users are there to see their content, and anything that inhibits their ability to do so is a nuisance. And that's led to the rise of ad block. Or saying, I'm never going to the site again because I'm getting hit with 5 pop-ups. So at my last company, it was all about How can we do enough to get advertiser dollars, but not enough to drive these users away because we need them to make our money? And then when I came to JibJab, like not having that in the consideration set at all, like the first time we got an inbound inquiry from a brand and Greg, the CEO, was like, not interested. I'm like, but we haven't even told them a price. Like, what if they'll pay us $500,000? He's like, not interested. That was a big like awakening moment for me saying, oh, you don't have to do everything they say. And you can actually focus on making the best product possible for your users. Like that was just a novel concept to me because of course that's the goal for everybody, but you also have to be profitable and keep people employed and do everything else. So that's why I think D2C is so valuable. It allows us to do that, not be beholden to other people. And it's a big challenge with the ad industry itself and with programmatic driving down CPM rates. To remove that from my consideration set was just like so awakening, like eye-opening to me that I loved it.
So that's a kind of hard thing to wrap my head around also. No, we don't necessarily need your dough, but thank you. We're going to stick to our guns and our strength. So one of the things that I'm curious about is how do you increase the virality? How do you leverage other platforms? Is that a challenge?
We have to take and make multiple bets on which platforms are going to be successful, because we always said like people aren't coming to JibJab and sharing a JibJab. We want to let you create something and then share it in text message or Facebook wall. Before iOS opened up their platform for text, we made a big bet on Facebook Messenger. Because I don't know if you remember, Facebook Messenger was like, they opened it up to developers and said, everyone can do it. And we're like, perfect. Let's put our product there, integrate it in. And we did it. And there was not even like a little blip up. And so we're like, well, that didn't work. And then iOS opened up theirs. I'm like, okay, let's try this again. But another big bet that we took on the company was story formats are going to be everywhere. Greg and Evan were right. But no one ever opened up their platform. Snapchat is definitely closed. They pride themselves on creative and content just like we do and said, we don't want other people on our platform because we focus on quality, not quantity. Instagram sort of did the same thing, although they allowed Giphy into their search results, which is now acquired by Facebook. But they never opened up either. And so we were creating all of these tools. There were a variety of them. One was that Talkies. One was called Gomoji. We created and actually launched a product called JibJab Camera in coordination with the NFL Thursday Night Football, which was a fantastic product, but people weren't going out of Instagram and Snapchat to make a story format piece of content, export it, and then re-import it into there with black bars around it that signified you didn't build this inside this platform. So we've had a lot of those like different iterations where you think it's super easy to figure out what platform is going to take off and make it as easy to share on there. But it doesn't always work and it doesn't always pan out the way you expected.
Thank you for sharing that. So, I mean, the buck stops with you or gets paid with you, I guess both ways. So this is a different role for you as CEO. What are some of your lessons or learnings of this past, what, year and a half or so in this role? And then what else do you advise others that are hard-won lessons for you?
Look, I'm very fortunate to be in the CEO role that I'm in. I was able to take over a beloved brand that had a very stark history in with a passionate user base that loves us. I often recall a conversation I had earlier in my career of a COO at a previous company that went off to be CEO, and he said, "When you're a first-time CEO, most of the first-time CEO jobs you have are turnarounds. Because if it's a really good job, they're either going to pick off of other really good CEOs who have a track record, or the founders are still there running it successfully. So you're often going to be in a really challenging spot and you just have to take the leap." And I look back at myself 2 years ago where that wasn't the case, and I'm extremely thankful. But it brings on like completely different challenges. I have a brand that's tied to these two founders who were in the logo for many, many years. And they are the brand. They've been doing this since 1999. When people think of JibJab, they really think of them. So being able to create my own path for the company and do some things that are maybe a little bit different while still respecting the brand that they built that made it so successful is a challenge, no doubt. And then on top of it, you look at it, our offices have been shut down since March 9th. So not only that, I went from, hey, you're a brand new CEO and just trying to operate on its own to now do that all remote during a pandemic. And so there's a lot of challenges within it. I've been very fortunate that the team that we have built has been there for a long time. So we have a lot of goodwill with one another. We've seen each other's in the offices for the last 4 or 5 years. We're fortunate to have very little turnover and people know how to advance the brand. And we're not trying to integrate a lot of new pieces into it. And really the first thing I always say is like, it starts with creating strong priorities and objectives at the year so everyone knows exactly what we're working towards and not taking on too much, and respect and trust. And that's what we've been able to build on and get us to where we are, where I take a step back and look and say, we have a very strong operating team that's working towards a goal of making billions of people happy by not trying to be everything to everybody and making people smile and laugh. And it's harder to do than it sounds, like make people laugh, but we've been able to do it. And I've been really proud to say I can lead this company with that mission.
Paul, I don't think you could have wrapped up my 2020 season of podcasts with a better message or more encouragement for how to go into 2021 with principles and with consistency and just a funny bone. So,
and look, we try and make it as easy to be funny as possible. I'm not creative. And automatically when I send texts to everyone, although my wife rolls her eyes, I can be the funny one with Jib Jab. There's my brand pitch.
Perfect. I'm keeping that in. All right. So be funny with Jib Jab, jibjab.com. You can try it out there. I'll have a link in the show notes, of course. So with that, I am sending out very warm wishes to everyone for finding as much fun in the face of adversity as you possibly can. I hope that everyone stays healthy, gets healthy, and that we all come together with the inspiration of a Jib Jab to find the humor and spread the joy throughout this holiday season and into 2021. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been quite a year. And that reminds me, you can also listen to It's Quite a Living, my other podcast interviewing personal friends. And with that, I will say happy holidays, happy new year. And here's to a Jib Jab year in review for 2021 that's a little bit more upbeat. I'm EB Moss.